Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes discouraged, but not defeated. Cast down, but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me, around for me, around for me, around for me, it's turning around.
Just say it into the atmosphere.
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
There's no reason to doubt.
I know he's working it out. And it's turning around.
This is the good news.
And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concerning me, and sooner or later it'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Concerning me, and sooner or later, turn in my favor.
Sooner or later,
turn in my favor.
That just lift your hands to the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. Now let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
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 It's turning around.
I can see. I can feel it happen.
Turning around,
God's not a man.
For me.
That he's alive.
For me.
Nor the Son of Man.
just say that. Sooner or later. Looking cute. I got a message for you. You got your little Mercedes, your little Cadillac, your little Lexus. You think you're somebody? I got a message for you. You don't really need to tell them. Church is this.
Before you sit down, tell them this is a sanctified church. You may be seated. I can get me one right now. We ain't go to the second song. But my sanctified feet feel like testifying. But you don't know what he done for me. You don't know like I know.
Oh, God, we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. And we pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come into war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls. And in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer. And Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And and we'll thank you for it, and we'll give your name the praise, and we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord, and we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Thy way upon the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 7 and go down to verse 8. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Here's our text. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. I want to talk about I'm knocked down, but I'm not out. Knocked down, but not out. Knocked down, but not out. Point your hand at somebody, though you're social distance, and say, I may be knocked down, but I'm not out. Boxing has always been a strange sport to me, and to many, it's one of the greatest sports of our time, because I don't actually watch boxing too much, but I do watch those main events when the media get us all hyped up. And I was so into it one time, I noticed my son, Kenny, and all saw me watching the boxing. They had a match between Holyfield and Mike Tyson. And I was more on the edge of the seat, jumping and jumping, until I saw Kenny just looked at me strange. Daddy, you know, look, I can't believe you, oh man, I'm just, I got shaking in the chair. And I was watching it. And when it comes to a main event, something about the media can hype you up so, till I ran home to pay-per-view, whatever we did at that time, to make sure that I was going to watch that world match. Some of the world matches always got me. One time I preached fast and got out of here and ran home so I could just see the world boxing match. It's amazing to me how much money is being made. Some companies pay $600,000 for just 1 minute. Because there are so many eyes on the world's championship. It was a Don King, and the people, I often wonder, where is he? But he was always an attention getter. And with that hair on his head always fascinated me, but he was one of the smartest, shrewdest guys when it comes to the boxing, which I don't know why we haven't done a study on him. And why there's not any information about his life, because that boxing was not boxing without him. He could go down and find some of the most talented men in the ghettos and could recognize a talent when he saw one and made a Mike Tyson. It was amazing that Muhammad Ali, who stung like a butterfly. Am I saying it right? Sting like a bee, like a butterfly, move around like a butterfly. And he said, however way I'm saying it, you know, I said it and you know I'm not a butterfly. But you know what I'm talking about. And he could dance around like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Oh, I got it right, didn't it? Kept messing with it until I got it right. It's amazing to me, and I understand his daughter boxed. But and George Foreman is a preacher. Yes, sir. And he went into the ministry and had a church. I kind of liked him a lot because he was funny. And he was. They're entertainers, yes, and they know how to entertain. And in the days when I was a teenager coming up and hearing about so many of these boxers and coming up, I would rush to see the fight. But I liked wrestling at the time. Yes, somehow or another, you know, though I didn't do nothing, go nowhere, I did fall in love with wrestling. Yes, And I love Bob Armstrong, and I love Ox Baker, and I love the Assassins, and I love the man with the knee lift. Amen. I forgot some of the names, the Wrestler number 2 and Wrestler number 1. And I used to just have, but it was really entertaining. It wasn't like some of it I'm seeing now with some stuff they're bringing up there. It really scares me. The old wrestlers wrestle. They come up with all these weapons. That kind of turned me off with that. But it was just entertaining. But boxing was not just entertaining. When you got up there, there was no fake. That was real stuff. And the history of boxing goes all back to the Roman times, when the Romans in the gladiator days, when they used to get out and they used to fight, they would wrap their hands up with some type of tape instead of gloves. And it was so brutal that even the Romans had to outlaw it, because it was cracking people all up and beating them all to death. And that's when it really gets kind of ugly. They're fighting with your fist with some tape on it. It was like a blow. It's a crush to a man's head. But the Romans used to love all that. They used to like watching animals attack people in the Colosseum and the gladiators attacking people. The Romans were very vulgar in their entertaining, and they finally outlawed it in the Romans' time, and it came back to life in the 1800s, and it became a little better that you would fight and box. And then they started putting on gloves instead of fighting with your normal fist. And then that sports began to grow and grow and grow. It became much more popular once the television came in sight, because now everybody can watch the game on TV. Before that, our forefathers had to sit, like my old daddy used to sit beside the radio. And they would sit there in home and wait to see. And sometimes it was a fight for blacks against whites, because blacks felt honored that they had a black man who was a champion. And it was like our hero to hear about some of them who were heroes and how they could fight and be notarized. And so it gave a little bit of pride to some of our peoples to know that we could win championships and knock down other people that said we were not intelligent enough to fight like that. So it lifted up a lot of. So our daddies used to sit around and wait to hear Joe Louis and see what kind of a fight, and Joe Louis would knock a man out. My daddy said before they could sit down and eat the popcorn, the game is over. Because he had one of the hardest hits, and so have some of the others that you know have had. Mike Tyson, another man, had one of the hardest hits, along with George Foreman. That was some men had a lot of hits. But it wasn't all about how well you could hit and how hard you could hit in boxing. It's about technique. My son, Timothy Fleming Jr., became an excellent boxer. He wanted to box, and he didn't want to preach. He wanted to box, and his first match, Timmy has long arms and a huge hand and powerful hand. And he's very quiet. He won't talk much. I was surprised to see. They took him in. I used to send him and take him to boxing class. Used to drive him out there to get in his boxing class. And he went up against his first fight, and he beat the Florida champion in one night. And I said, what? Your son has beat the Florida champion. The guy was older than him. He wasn't no more than about 13 at the time. And he beat the state of Florida champion. They beat him, damn it. They beat him. And the next fight, Holyfield was there. And they got into him, and Holyfield told me, he used to come to Summer Hill Church and worship. He said, you sitting on something precious. Sister Fleming and I said, what? He said, you don't know what you got. I said, what? He quiet. You can't figure him out. You don't know what he's going to do. And they took him to New York, and I protested. I didn't want him going up there to fight nobody older than he. They were rushing him so fast, and they took him up there, and that guy beat him up there because some 18-year-old boy putting him up 14 years old was not good. And they brought him out. I don't want my son box no more. Holyfield said, but no. He quick and quiet. We start thinking about it, and I said, Lord, I don't want my son all bammed all up and beat all up in the head. I said, when I look at what happened to some of them when they get old. And I went to prayer. And all of a sudden, when Arik died, shook up both my sons, and when I took them to the Holy Land. And when I took Timothy and Kenny to the Holy Land, yeah, I've been to the Holy Land 5 times. I used to take people over there. When we got to Bethlehem, something strange happened. They went down and saw the spot where Jesus was born. I didn't get off the bus. I told them, I said, you all go on down there with your mother. And when they went down there, I've been down there so many times, I knew they were going to get something down there. The Lord said, just stay on the bus. When they saw the birthplace of Jesus and saw where the cradle was and where Jesus had been laid, they came back on the bus and they wouldn't talk another word. I said, what's wrong with both of them? Neither one of them, Kenny or Timothy, wouldn't say nothing. All a while back, Timmy had a little old stick he got in the Holy Land he carried around. He was carrying that to school and everywhere. I said, why do you keep carrying this rod? It was like Abram's rod. He would never tell us. And all of a sudden, he got back in the boxing ring again. He said, Daddy, when I got up in the boxing ring that day, I couldn't see my man. I said, what? He said, Daddy, every time I got swinging him, I couldn't see him. I saw God. I was shocked. He said, something happened after that Holy Land. After they came back here, both of them started preaching. Timmy and Kenny started preaching. And all of a sudden, he just got out of boxing. Now, I noticed he still liked to box at home, and Kenny liked to go boxing when he go to the spa. They love the sport. But what happened? Down there in that Holy Land, down there, they saw something that they won't talk about. I know what happened. They felt the presence of God. And God pulled him straight out of boxing and put him into preaching. Then he became a prolific writer. He's won several contests, $25,000. First Afro-American to win that contest that age, $25,000. He's a poet. And he went up against 400 contestants worldwide and beat them all. With a It's on YouTube. Go on YouTube. The first black man to ever win at that age, $25,000 for a poem he wrote. Went back first, got $5,000. $10,000. Got $5,000 first time, came back and got $10,000. Then the grand prize he won, I think, got there in California. And I got scared because he's a black man making, winning all his money. He bought more tennis shoes and everything else with that money, just like a young teenager. But I wouldn't let him go back because I was afraid for his life. They didn't want to see him come back. He would win again. He got up there and didn't stand no more than 5 minutes. Now, I don't know what he said, but whatever, it shook the nation. It was all these people, white and black, all races were there. And he discovered another gift. Now, I'm not just talking that because he's my son. You go on and type Timothy Fleming Jr., you'll see the awards when they gave him the grand prize and set him in that king's chair when Jackie and he had just gotten married. And that was $25,000 cash that the heart, and he won that. He's really a writer that I didn't know he was. He doesn't use that gift much. But God said, I got something better for you. And just show you how he started in this boxing area, but that wasn't what God wanted him to do. And it sure wasn't what I wanted him to do. But God guided him in another way. That's how important boxing, what it means to some people. I'm painting a picture. I don't have Mr. Gordon somewhere here today. Don't y'all take his word. Just going somewhere. Got a job now. So I got to say I'm going somewhere. Going somewhere. So here we are. The importance of boxing, and it still is a great thing in certain countries. And, of course, Holyfield, to me, is still one of the greatest. But I think I'm just waiting on the next real boxing match when somebody will come along and bring back the fun of boxing. Well, I want to tell you something. Boxing has not only been popular around the world at one time, but in our Bible text today, I'm seeing a ring here. I'm seeing some boxing going on here. Listen what Paul is telling the church of Corinth. Always being attacked by this Corinthian church. Paul had more trouble out of this church than any church he ever wrote letters to and tried to preach to. It was always some mess going on in Corinth. Corinth was a Roman Providence city. There was a lot of corruption in there, a lot of incest going on there, a lot of idol and worshiping gods going on in there. And for some reason, he could never get this church right. And sometimes they were making accusations against him. They were always fighting him and always going in rebellion against Paul. And he had to come time just talk about what God meant to him and that he was willing to go through the trials and tribulation of life. And he starts off saying here in the text, we are like this vessel that are cracked. And some of us are like earthen vessels. Some of us might think we're high and think we're better than other body, but you got a crack on you. I don't care how good you look and how popular you might be, there's some cracks on you. You're just a vessel. You got some faults somewhere, and we all are like earthen vessels that are just cracked, that we're excellent, saying the power of God may dwell in us. That's all we need is the power of God. But something else Paul trying to say, though you may challenge the authenticity of my apostleship, that you might try to say that it's not authentic that I am apostle because I was not an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. Well, the authenticity of my apostleship, I can tell you one thing. I have gone through a lot of things, and I want you to know that all of the things people were attacking Paul on, he's saying, we are troubled. We're just like this. We are troubled on every side. We all get troubled. You say you're going through trouble? Welcome to the human family. We're all troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. Have you ever been troubled but not distressed? I know a lot of people say, how can I be troubled and not get stressed? Well, you got to know the value of trouble. Sometimes trouble makes a man. Sometimes trouble wakes a man up. Yes, some people say, well, I'm always having trouble. I'm having trouble on my job. Uh-huh. What I do about that, Pastor? I said, thank God you got one. Yes, some people say, well, I'm having trouble in my health. Well, now trouble make you eat right. Yes, now that you know you're certain food make you sick, you stay away from it. It's not good for you, no how. Yes, eating all that pork and all that grease. Stay away from a whole lot of grease. If I eat in a restaurant, I said, bring me some napkins. Uh-huh. And when they bring that meat with all that old grease and that old butter running all out, I get my napkin and squeeze it all out. Amen. That's what kills us. Grease. Grease will kill you. It clogged up your cholesterol. Amen. I'm trying to tell you how to stay like me in 70 and look good. Then I just hear a lady say, isn't he so handsome? Old men love to brag, don't they? So you got to watch what you eat. So trouble does make you pray. Troubles keep you on knees. So I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. You've been knocked down, but you're still standing up. This is a part of life, being knocked down. I'm not distressed. I've been persecuted. How many of you have been lied on and persecuted? Yeah? But you're still here. All the negative things people can say about you doesn't mean it can stop you. In fact, the more negative thing they say to you, the more positive you should become. And you should take all the negative thing that people say and put it in a pot and stir it up. And make your own food out of it. Amen. I often say you got to learn how to take the ugliness and put it. You know, to make food right, there's a whole lot of stuff going apart. There's a whole lot goes into making bread. And some of that stuff pays bad by itself. This eating the bread, the dough by itself pays bad by itself. You even making a cake, just eating the dough may not taste good, but when you mix the sugar in there and your eggs, eating that by itself raw doesn't taste good. But when you put it all in the pot and stir it up and put it in the oven, it tastes sweet cake. But all that stuff, when it went in there, was separately. It wasn't tasting good by itself. But when you mix it in with other stuff, it come out right. So all the trials and all the trouble you going through and all the enemies you got, put all that in a pot. All the lies, put it in a pot. All the ugly things won't call you, put that in the pot. And then put a little sugar in there and stir it up and put it in the oven of life, and it'll come out baked just right for you as a good cake. Yes, I'm forsaken, but cast down, but I'm not destroyed. Look around you and say, out of all somebody tried to do to your family, you're still together. Everybody gets an attack as a good family, but you're still making it. And you built too much together to let one fool come in and take. Making any sense? You got to first say, look, I put too much time in you, old knucklehead. I put up with some stuff some folk won't put up with. And I put too much time into you to walk off and leave you. Amen? And look, you ain't going nowhere. Well, my prayers got you wrapped up. And my, you go to pray and see what God will do. You put too much time and all the hell the two of you went through, and then you're going to just jump up and let the devil steal it. What about all that you put in it? Cast down! But I'm not destroyed. Hallelujah. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. When you look at all this, what you're going through, you can't just give up. When I was going through storms in here, I wasn't about to give up. I put too much in trying to build this church, pulling out of Summer Hill in the ghetto. And all the hell I went through when I suffered with them, and all the time I should have been barely had enough income to even pay my bills over there. Couldn't get my kid in school because I wasn't making enough. And I suffered and I neglected things. Staying in an apartment 8 years, people breaking in and out of my house, raising money so I could get enough money and build a church and get them out of Summer Hill and get them over here and think I was going to run from something. About to lose your mind. Flemmy was ready for a fight. Listen, friend, you don't let, when you help somebody when you didn't have to, and you go through a lot, you don't get across the river and go back when you can't swim. Help me, Holy. When God has opened up the Red Sea, why you want to try to swim back and get drowned? When you go through stuff, don't be destroyed. I don't care if God is with you, let him lie. You keep on doing what is right. Persecuted, cast down, talked about, knocked down. But I'm not out. Oh, this mess is going to make somebody think about what's knocking you down. What's knocking you down? Is it people unappreciative? That's a good knockdown. That's a good knockdown. If you raise your children, get them grown, and then they grow up and cuss you out, that's a knockdown. When you work hard on your job and you know you're faithful and they lie on you and get you fired, and you say, all these years I worked when I didn't have to work, and I went to work when other folk didn't go, and then they lay me off because somebody lied, that's a knockdown. Yes, when you've been faithful giving in your church and tithing and doing what the pastor say, and now you get evicted, that's a knockdown. Yes, the economy can be a knockdown. The economical crisis can be a knockdown. And it appears that look like everybody's getting rich, and everybody's rich is getting richer, and everybody poor is getting poor. And some of us got only just poor and poor. Yes, sir. That was a time we used to say that the difference between poor and poor. Yes, sir. Some of us remember when we were poor. Yes, sir. And some of us remember when we were poor. Hallelujah. When you didn't had to borrow sugar and borrow flour and borrow meal next door, that's poor. Amen. When you had to always wear the hand-me-down from your brother, amen, that's poor. Amen. When you got to, when you finally got mad because your brother had it, and when he finally gave it to you, it was all broke and tore up and shoes were holes in the shoe. You couldn't wear it. But see, but that's the way it was. We made it when we were poor, and we made it when we were poor. We remember when mama was struggling and daddy was struggling, the economical stuff. And it appears that right now, even when you get a certain age, you start getting a little money, and then they raise the prices here. Soon as they give you a little raise, then all go up. Soon as they give you a little increase on your check, now your life go up. Every time they give you a little old raise, they raise stuff up.
Yes, sir.
All right, you raise it, you gave them a little raise, now grocery went up. You can't even buy an apple. Every time you look around, it looked like they said they're going to give you some money, and when they gave you that little $600, that was just enough to last 6 days. Because all they wanted you to do was spend it and put it right back in the system. And if they give you any more, they're going to give it to you. So they're going to raise this. And why in the world you can't even find no Lysol? I was just thinking about in a pandemic like this, at least you ought to be able to find, and you can't find it nowhere, just to spray nowhere, one little old can. And it looked like they should have had that everywhere. And the minute you really need, now sooner we get a cure for everything, then you're going to see it everywhere. On every corner, every show, shelf, everywhere. When the country seemed to raise us a little bit and give you a raise, they raise everything else. And you stay on the low economical level while the rich keep getting richer. And rich folk not paying no tax. The middleman, people working on the middleman is what's running this country. Rich folk don't pay nothing. And you start saying, I'm knocked down. Soon as I get something going, something come and take this and take that. And now I'm back where I started, even with a little increase. I had a man once told me he was in jail. He said, Reverend, there's more hell out here than was in prison. I said, really? He said, well, at least I had a roof over my head and something to eat.
Yes,
now I hear I can't even find a place to sleep. I said, oh, my God, really? He said, Reverend, number one, I can't get a job. They go looking at my record. I'm knocked down. I said, that's so sad when you made a turnaround and come out and want nobody hire you and talk about your background. Everybody got a bad background. I can't see that to save my life. This is supposed to be turn around, and when you turn me around, you turn me back around. You know, you turn around and you keep turning around. Talking about turn around, bring you to turn around. And then when you get in turn around, they turn you back around. I don't understand it. Why are we not doing nothing for people who've gone to prison and changed their lives and could get a good education in college and want to come out and make a turnaround in their life, and you keep turning them around. They're the one need a job. They're the one need an opportunity to show you they've changed. And yet be crushed. The very people cast down. But I want to say to every last one of you in prison, those out of prison, you must not let the system beat you. You find a way to create a job of your own, learn how to do things on your own, and start your own business. There's so many folks looking for somebody who can paint. You can go online and go on YouTube and find out how to do certain things. They'll teach you how to do. You don't have to let the system beat you. Go back and get your own education. You can go online and train yourself. You don't have to get cast down and stay down. I said you may be down, but just being down doesn't mean you out. All of us get down. Some of us stay down. Some of us talk down. Some of us walk down. Some of us low down. But I'll tell you right now, I don't care how down you go, remember you don't have to stay there. Am I looking at somebody right now in prison with your head down? Am I looking at somebody right now just got out of prison with your head down? Don't you let the system defeat you. That's the work of the enemy. His job is to take your path and wear you out. His job is to keep you down, worried about what people know about you. But you ought to point your finger back and say, what about you? While you point your finger at me. A lot of folks did some stuff but just didn't get caught. You're a human being. You made mistakes. You got caught up with the wrong crowd. But it's a setup. It's a setup of the devil to allow things that has happened to you in the past that knock you down and try to keep you down. But you don't have to stay down because you're knocked down. You can come back. Look at the others who had a downfall and bounced back. Because it's possible. It depends upon you. Not your mother, not your father, not your sister, not your brother, but it's you. You got to always live with you. And when you can't live with you, you can't live with others. You have to love you enough to not let you stand in your way. All of us been young and foolish. And some of us old and foolish. My God, but God grace. God has grace. And if it wasn't for God's grace, let me get to this point before I run out of time. Down but not out. Why is it that God will let you go down but you're not out? Because God got something else for you in life. God was not through with you when he allowed you to get beaten down and then let you go out. It's something else God has for you. I don't know what it is, but God has a plan for you. How do you know? You're not dead. Why didn't they succeed in killing you? You may be lying there half dead, but you're still breathing. Somebody said, my pocketbook dead, but it's breathing. I may look in there and say, it's dead, but it's breathing. It's a quarter in there. As long as you got a nickel in there, it's still breathing. Okay? Yeah. Long as you're breathing, you're not dead. There have been men that I was watching in the years back who got knocked completely down. And one guy got knocked completely down. They swear he was out. He got back up and with one lick knocked out his opponent. One blow. And they say he's a comeback man. He was down, but he was out. They counted him out, but he got back up and won. Because you still got life when you've been knocked down. Oh, you've lost your home? Welcome to the human family. You still got a roof over your head. And you can get another house, but you can't get another life. And if you mess around here and go crazy, you probably won't get no more brains back. You got hurt by somebody, then why are you sitting around hurt, worried about them, and they going on? You need to first wake yourself up and say, if he can go on and broke my heart, I better get up and go on and let him move on. Tell him something, my pastor said, Mary Martha. God, who in the world, let me ask you, put that camera in my face. Put it in my handsome face. And let me tell you something. Who in the world is worth you losing all you got and your mind? They're not worth it. Your mind is a God-given gift. The gift that God gave you is a God-given gift. And you're going to let one person ruin that? You're going to let one divorce destroy you? That's just a woman you met, and it's some more women. My daddy, you said, There's more than one fish in the pond, and Mama hollered out and said, more different kind, too. And one of my brothers are crying over some woman. Let me tell you something. It's somebody else out there waiting for a person like you. It's somebody out there that would be glad to have a person like you. It's somebody out there been so hurt, they waiting on a person like you. And why are you going to kill yourself and mess yourself up so no man wants you? Why are you going to sit around there, eat all the sweets and gain all this weight when you was a fine mama jamma? And I lost all your hair worrying over some Negro. And now when a good man come along and you got no hair and all out of shape. Uh-oh. Listen, you keep your hair on your head for you. You not working out to look nice for nobody. You need to be looking nice for you. You got to think about, I want to get back in that dress that I paid too much money for. I'm not doing it for nobody but for me. See, if you learn to love you, somebody come along and love you. Uh-oh, wow, where that came from? Don't let nobody mess you up, mess your mind. You may be down, but I'm not out. I'll come back better than I ever been. Because God is not through with me. God is not finished with me. If God was done with you, you would never come back. He got something else for you, drug addict. You might be the next pastor of a church. He got something else for you. Whatever you doing, he got something planned for you while you're not dead, because he's keeping you alive for something. Come down, but I'm not out. I'm down, and I'm not out, because I need to know what down is. Some people don't know what it's like to be hungry. But hey, when you've been hungry, you know how to go without. When you've been hungry, you know how to appreciate food when you get it. Some folk love to eat cute. And some of them leave half the food on the plate. Trying to act like you something big. Hey, but you better eat everything on there. And if you lick the plate, I don't care. God, they didn't say, hey, I paid for this. I paid for this. I paid for this. And I'm eating all the cheese, meat on the bone. And if you get me happy, I take the bone home and suck on that. I don't go that far. But I want to tell you right now, why do we go and eat, talking about eating, looking pretty, leave half the food on the plate, right? Like I'm just trying to be intelligent, and walk out still half hungry? Didn't you pay for that food? When you've been hungry, you know how to appreciate food. When you've been outdoors, you know how to appreciate a house. When you've been on your feet walking, you know how to thank God for a car. I don't care how it looks. Down. But I'm not out. Oh, sometimes God will take a man down to show him that he gets his power from God. How do I make it? Like I'm running out of time. How do I make it? When I'm down and out and I'm in a ring fighting the devil, fighting that old enemy for my health, fighting him for my family, fighting him for my job, fighting him for my mind, and you got on your gloves and he hits you here, and he hits you here, and if he hits you down here, he's out, because you're not supposed to go below the stomach. Sometimes the devil has to disqualify him. But you know why? You know how you make it when you've been down and out? You ready for this one? It depends on who's in the corner for you. Is somebody in the corner ring? In your corner. So when you got hit by the devil, hit by a lie, hit by bad health, and you fail, listen to the man in your corner. He's in the corner ring, and he's whispering to you. Get up! Now some folk in that other corner not with you. The crowds and the demon maybe say, ooh. But in that corner, you got a friend in the corner said, get up! You not out! You just down. And who's in my corner? Jesus in my corner. The reason why I'm down, but I'm not out. I fell back, but I heard a word from the man in my corner. He's on the side of the ring down whispering to me. He's not up there, but he's behind me. He's leaning on the rope. And he's leaning over telling you something. Stay out of the way of that. Watch that elbow. Watch that left hook. I know you're looking at the right, but watch that left. Because he can hit you both ways. Don't let him hit you here. Don't let him hit you there. Get up, Billy. Get up, Johnny. Come on. I'm out. I'm out. Just because I'm out don't mean I'm dead. I'm not dead. But before the rain, they keep counting one. They keep counting two. Your bills came to count. Then you fell back again. Hey, come. 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, he back up. He back up. He's not out yet. Go back in that corner. Take you a little recess. Let the man in the corner wipe you down. Wipe your face. Check your mouth. And he'll whisper again. You can do it. You can do it. Get up. I want to tell somebody today, you may be down, but long as you living, you're not out. How I know I'm not out? I still got a praise on my lips. How I know I'm not out? I can still shout hallelujah. I'm not out. I don't have no money, but I'm not out. I'm riding on E, but I'm still riding. As long as I'm on E and I can get to a station, there's going to be a fill-up. I'm not out. I think about a man named Joseph. He was down but not out. They sold him down in Egypt. He thought he'd never see his family again. He was down but not out. They sold him. Potiphar's wife lied on him. He was thrown in jail, but he was not out. After a while, the king Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted his dream. He got up on the secretary of Africa. He got promoted, and when he saw his brothers again, they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him. When God gets through with you and takes you through some things, when you come through, your enemies won't recognize you. Anybody here say, I came back, they didn't know who I was. God will fix it so they won't recognize you. Oh, when Joseph was now on the throne, the same brothers that sold him thought he was out, but he wasn't out. He's not a king. He was down but not out. I think about David, a man after God's own heart. A little old young boy went out to fight a giant Goliath. The giant was big. The giant was powerful. But he was a little boy and didn't have nothing but a slingshot. You know, some things huge can frighten you. It'll make you think it's too big. When that giant stood up before that little boy, I could hear the crowd saying, David, that's a big man. How you gonna hit him? David said, if he's big, he's too big to miss. He's just right size for me. He took his sling shot and threw it out that rock and knocked that giant down. Do you have a big bill? Do you have a big enemy? Do you have a big sickness? Is this a giant in your life trying to knock you out? Use what you got. Use what you have. Use your prayer life. Use your testimony. Use the Holy Ghost.
Use the gospel. Use your prayer life. And throw that rock and knock the enemy down. I could hear David saying, they thought I was out when Saul knocked me down. But now he's the king. And I could hear David saying, the reason why I'm not out, because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I was down, but I wasn't out. Another thing about when you've been knocked out, listen what the man in the corner said. Hear his words. His words are encouraging. So when you get knocked down and you get back up and not out, not only get the word of God, that man in the corner has got a word for you. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. When you get back in the corner and you sit down at your chair and you feel like you've been knocked down and out, there's a word from the man in the corner that I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Listen to the word in the corner. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen to the words in the corner. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. They'll soon be cut down and withered as the green earth. Listen to the words in the corner. I've been young and I have been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Listen to the man in the corner. Praise the Lord. I'm down, but I'm not out. Every day I listen to the man in the corner. I sometimes don't feel like I want to preach. Sometimes I don't feel like singing. Sometimes I feel like giving up. Sometimes I'm down, but I get up and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm not out. I'm not out. Anybody here made up in your mind? I may be suffering, but I'm not giving up. I may not have nobody. I may be down, but I'm not out. The reason why you know I'm not out, pan that camel on somebody, raise your hand and say, look at me. I'm still here. Look at me. Some folks are gone, but I'm still here. Raise your hand and say, I'm not out. I'm not out. I've been down, but I'm not out. I've been... Oh, yeah! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Down. Down. I've been down, but I'm up. How did you make it? I heard somebody say, get up! Get up. Get up. Get up! Get up! Get up! Off your bed. Get up! Out your house. Get up! I said, get up! Get up, brother! Get up, brother! Get up, brother! Get up, sister! Get up, drug addict! Get up, prostitute! Get up, homosexual! Get up! Put down the drug! Put down the liquor bottle! Get up! You can get up! Get up! In jail! Get up! When you're down! Get up! God wants you to get up! Tell somebody get up. Spin around three times if you can. So I not only got up, but God turned it around. Oh! He turned it around. Look at me now. Somebody turned it around. Somebody told me to keep on going. Somebody told me to hold on. You may be down now, but you get up again. Oh! God, I don't want to get happy this morning, but every now and then I feel like telling somebody I was down but not out, because there's a power on the inside. There's a power on the inside. Wouldn't let me die. There's a power on the inside. Wouldn't let me quit. There's a power on the inside. Let me hoop. I don't need y'all hoop. Oh, 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 hey!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Don't lose it,
I know the Lord will make a way somehow. Taking me back when I didn't have no music. So, I got up. Look at somebody and say, I got up. Let me stop. Woo. Oh. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You made a way out of no way. Oh, 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 oh. What's wrong with Reverend? He's looking back at some things he got knocked down and he got up. I'm looking way back when I thought I was through. Have you ever felt like you were finished? But you got up enough wind and got back up. And when they see you again, they say, you don't look like you used to look. Say, I got up. I learned how to get up. If I had to pull on the ropes and get up, then pull on the ropes and get up, and stand back in your corner and pray a little bit while your opponents are coming at you, and then play dead. Play dead like you can't see it. When he run up there after you, boom!
There you go. There you go.
Give him a left hook or uppercut. I gave the devil an uppercut. When he thought I was down and out, I took prayer and I hit him. Knocked him down and he out. I want somebody to just walk around wherever you are. Just think about some stuff you were down. And you got back up. And say, it's not over until it's over. I'm talking to somebody who's just down, outdoors, and homeless. Long as you got your help and strength, you'll find a house. You may be down, but just don't be down a little while, but don't be out. Just say, I know I'm coming out of this sickness. I know I'm coming out of this death. Keep your praise on. And listen to the man in the corner. He's hollering you, encouraging word. You can do it. Now wake up. Get up. I know you can do it. Come back to yourself. He's just a man like you. The devil just... He's a fallen angel. He doesn't have no power over God.
He's powerful, but God's all powerful. And God told you to get up because God has given you the strength. The Lord is my strength. And when the devil sees when he gave you his biggest blow, you went down and he said, you finished. And all of a sudden you go to shaking your head and you back up before you count out. And the devil say, you supposed to have been gone. I threw something at you when you were young. You're not supposed to be here. I messed you up when you were young. And you mean to tell me you have overcome? The devil got to stand back and stare at you when they raise your hand. You are the winner. You are the winner. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Sing for me, we fall down. God is not here. Anybody know that? Come down here. Somebody who sang that for me. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down,
but we get up.
But the saint is just a sinner.
We'll be right back. I started out working on the building a long, long time ago. I turned around in a world of sin. I didn't work on the building anymore. I was lost in the heart of the wilderness. I was standing at the crossing of the road. I heard a voice speak soft and low, telling me which way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. I wandered here, I wandered there. Months and years had passed. I had plenty of friends all the time. The life I lived was bad. When trouble came around me, all of my friends were gone. But I heard the same voice speaking in my ear, telling me to go back home. He said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home. Finally did what the voice said. I turned and took my place. I worked in back, singing in the choir, God's amazing grace. I know Jesus, he loves me so. And this is how I know. That same voice speaking to me, telling me the way to go. And he said, it's time to go back home, child. It's time to go back home. You've been wandering in the wilderness much too long. It's time to go back home.
Too long.